Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
All right, we are back. A lot of things to get to. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I know you want to talk about some things that happened in Las Vegas. Last night we were at the Hard Rock Casino.
We were.
In Tampa, Tampa Bay Food Fight. But we're 14, 15, about 16 days away from a rock show like none other. And on the line with us right now from Great White is Mark Kendall. Mark, how are you?
How you guys doing, man?
We appreciate your time. Listen, you know, I've been around athletes for 45 years or so on the air, and athletes want to be rock stars, and rock stars want to be athletes. So before we talk about the show, are you a sports fan? And if you are, what are some of the sports or players or teams or, you know, that you like to watch?
Yeah, well, I've been a baseball nut my whole life. I played from 8 years old until I was 18, and I probably wasn't dedicated enough. I played under pro caliber, but I loved baseball. But I was kind of caught between my guitar and baseball, so I wasn't fully committed and dedicated enough to become a great player in baseball. But I follow the Dodgers; they're my home team. You know, I sweat every game. And the Giants are playing like Satan this year, so it's really tough. We're two games behind them, and with 5 games to go, so it looks like we might be a wild card team, which I'm not a big fan of the one game, you know.
Right, the play-in.
Playoff, but, you know, it is what it is. That's the rule, so we'll have to deal with that. But anyway, so, yeah, I'm big-time baseball fan, and I played just under caliber, pro caliber in pool, and I played in the World Championships in 2017. So I have played all the best players in the world, but don't beat them. I might beat one every once in a while, but I can't line them up and win. But
did you ever play Allen Hopkins?
Allen Hopkins, you know, he's a little before my time, but a great player. I know a lot about Allen. You know, he's a legend.
Yep.
I think he's from New Jersey. He's, you know, my best friend just broke the world record for the longest run in pool, beat Willie Moscone by 100 balls. He ran 6:26, took 4 hours and 3 minutes. He comes over a lot, so I train with him. His name's John Schmidt. But, yeah, I'm a fan of all the pool players, all the big pros. I train with a guy called Mark Wilson in St. Louis and Nick Varner, who was an 8-time world champion. So, you know, I love it. It's a great hobby for me. But, you know, guitar is number one, my band, and so that's what I do.
Before we move on, I'm going to reach out to a good friend of mine, Brad Penny. I used to run his website, so I'm going to see if I can try to grab something from him, whether it's a pair of his old cleats or a jersey, a game jersey. And since you're a big Dodger fan, I'm going to try to scarf something for you.
Wow, that would be amazing. Yeah, I'm really, you know, I always, like friends of mine that live in other states and stuff, when they don't root for their home team, I always think that's really weird. It's like, you know, like a friend of mine, he's like a fan of Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has a killer history. I used to love when we matched up with them, but why would you root for them? They're in Cincinnati. You know, you're in LA, dude. So I've always rooted for my home team. You know, if you hate the Dodgers, that's fine, you know, because you're probably a Houston fan or something because you live there. So I'm just a fan of rooting for my home team.
I was in the locker room with Brad Penny one time. I've never told this story publicly, so hopefully it's okay. And I'm hanging out with Brad, and we walk by, and he picks up a Dodger hat, and he goes, "Hey, you want this?" And I'm like, you know, I'm media. I'm not supposed to. And, you know, I'm like, he goes, "No, take it. It's cool." It was, I can't think of his name, the Tommy Lasorda. It was Tommy Lasorda's hat.
No way. So, that's cool. Tommy Lasorda is
I now legend. Have Tommy Lasorda's hat.
Legend.
Absolutely. Now, you grew up. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I went to a Jimmy Kimmel charity event, and Tommy Lasorda went on stage with some other guy. I can't remember who it was, but he's up there just telling stories. Really funny man. Really funny.
Yes, man. Definitely some great stories. So you grew up in Huntington Beach. Have you ever crossed paths with the Huntington Beach bad boy and Tito Ortiz?
No, I haven't. I lived there in like the mid-70s, and I only lived there for 3 years, so from 15 until I was 18. So, no, never ran across him.
I think Tito was still fighting back then.
He was. Yeah, he was. He still is.
He's 46 still doing it,
and he still is. So, you know, let me ask you this, Mark. You know, with, you know, what we've gone through the last year and a half, you know, with the country and COVID and all that kind of stuff, how excited are you to get back on the road? And I don't know, you know, if you've performed leading up to 10 days from now, but back on the road and coming to the Tampa Bay area and the Hard Rock.
Well, I just made the best of it. Yeah, we've already played quite a few shows this year, but yeah, we were down last year, and I actually got a lot done, believe it or not. I mean, I wish it was under different circumstances, but I was able to write a lot of songs, you know, work with another guy in the band, and, you know, we got a lot done. I played tons of pool. I got to hang out with my family. I don't think I've been home that long since I was 17, maybe.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of cool, but, you know, under, like I said, unfortunate circumstances with the pandemic and everything. But yeah, it's good to get out and see people enjoying themselves again, and, you know, kind of having the fear go away a little bit. There's still some out there, but you know, we're enjoying it.
I ask a lot of fighters, you know, what's, you know, going through their mind as they're walking to the cage, or what's going through their mind once they're in the middle of a fight. You know, let me ask you the same thing. You know, you've done this for now many, many years, you know, a rock legend.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind as you're walking on stage, or when you're out there actually playing a song?
Well, before I go on, my blood just like boils. I get a major endorphin rush, and I just say a little prayer, you know, that I can play my best and have a great show. And then once I get past the first song, it's a little bit of a release of that high energy that happens. But I'm the same way as I was when I was you know, playing at a park when I was 16. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, it's nervous, but it's not like the coffee flying out the nose, scared to death kind of nervous. It's more of an adrenaline rush, because you got all those people out there, and we've played for a lot of people, you know, up to 200,000 people before. And the rush you get from that many people is like kind of unexplainable, but you know, it's leading up to it. Once you're out there, everything seems to be fine. Just like with a fighter, once they the fight, I'm sure they're fine. You know, they just show their skills and do what they do, but it's leading to it. It's walking to the ring, you know. I'm sure they all feel a little adrenaline from that walk.
Hey, Mark, so, you know, a lot of places have special meaning, you know, like Madison Square Garden or Red Rocks in Colorado, or, you know, venues all over the world, Rock in Rio, for example. Like, what's the coolest venue you've ever played at?
Well, Madison Square Garden was certainly special. I have a pretty good memory of that. But growing up as a teenager, our dream was to play where the Lakers play at the Forum. And, you know, we used to pretend like we were playing there while we were playing in a living room. So when we played there and, you know, the record company came on stage and handed us platinum records in front of people I went to seventh grade with, it's hard to top that.
Wow. You keep it a hometown. I mean, I love your theme. Stay in hometown with it.
Now, all you needed was Tommy Lasorda and the Dodgers there as well.
And his hat.
I know. That's the only thing that was missing, you know. And John Sutton was in the front row or something. But my, oh, wow. My parents were there, you know, all the whole first 10 rows I knew, like, everybody. So it was, that was a pretty special thing. And it was the kind of the beginning of our, you know, when we were having a big run, we're all over the radio and MTV, and, you know, everything was, all our stars lined up, and it was a great time.
You know, I've always heard these great, funny stories. And, you know, we talk to a lot of athletes, and, you know, they're on TV or their fights on TV. We just talked about that great fight that was Saturday night. What was it like the first time you're driving down the road, you have the radio on, and your song is now being played on the radio?
You know, the arm stands up on your neck. I can't believe it. You know, I still get the chills when I hear us on the radio. Because all these years later, and they're still playing us on the classic rock station. But the first time, my manager brought a ghetto blaster to our rehearsal, and we didn't know it, but he got us in heavy rotation on the biggest station in Los Angeles. And we're, like, still working in factories, and, you know, so this was, like, a pretty big deal. But we thought he was going to play us an ad for a show. And he knew right when they were going to play the song, so he put it out on an extension cord into our front yard, and we heard our song on the radio, and it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is unheard of, because we weren't really signed to a label. We were only signed to a distribution deal. We weren't even on a label, and the label was independent. So for a band that's unsigned to be playing on the radio with the likes of Tom Petty and stuff like that was just, it just didn't happen. So it freaked me out.
Good stuff. That's I cannot amazing. Wait for October 14th. I'll be there in the audience. Hopefully, you know, we can catch up either before or after. Mark, thank you very much for your time. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of socks from Odd Sock Official. If you have a couple minutes, go to their website, check it out, and just let me know what socks you want, and we'll get a box sent right out to you.
Okay, and what is it called again? I'm sorry.
Odd Sock, S-O-X, official.com.
Okay, got it. Thanks,
and then I'll put you on hold so that you can get how to get back in contact with me. You know, I'll have my producer just let you know my email or whatever. Let me know which ones you want, and we'll definitely hook you up. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Killer, man. Thanks, you guys. You guys did a great show. Awesome.
That is Mark Kendall from Great White. And October 14th with Vince Neil. And I'm looking forward to it. It's pretty cool.
If I wasn't a radio star, I would be a rock star.
Yeah, I'm turning you off. All right, let's hit a break. When we come back, Melvin Gillard, the main event next Saturday in, where are we going? Well, Montana.
Montana, Billings,
this
Montana.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris, so stay right there.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Centre. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field. Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wade Boggs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Don't fight at Vince Steele. We're French now?
Wait, yeah, I want to go.
All right, so October 9th, right around the corner. Yep. A lot of stuff going on.
It is.
You know, the Wilder rematch. The challenge is here in Tampa. But my buddy, one of my closest friends, on the phone with us right now, as well as the main event in Billings, Montana, Melvin Gillard. Melvin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, my man?
How's things? How's life?
Things are going great, actually. No complaints, you know what I mean?
Are you in a sub right now or a bathroom? Where are you hanging out?
No, I'm in my room, actually, just finished cleaning, doing some laundry and stuff, you know?
I got you. All right, so I texted you after the, you know, I want to get the controversy, all that garbage out of the way. I texted you right away, as a matter of fact, from wherever we were just in, Nebraska.
Omaha.
And I was a little like, how come every time something goes wrong, it's okay for everybody else except for Melvin?
Because I'm Melvin, bro. That's just the way things work. You know what I mean? I'm kind of used to it at this point. But I know one thing. My last two fights are definitely going to get turned around. I mean, they're going to be turned over by the commission. They have to, because I was told that because of my last fight, they said because I swung at him, even though I missed, they said because I swung at him, they're not overturning the call. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like I said, you know, I was, and I think I was the only one that had what we like to say, the basketballs. And you were standing there, Matt, when I said something to Houston Alexander.
You did.
You know, and all I was thinking, not because you and I are friends and stuff, because when it comes to right and wrong, it doesn't matter who it is. And I'm thinking, Melvin threw and missed. Houston hit a guy that could have been dead, you know, laying on, and nothing happened to him. Yet you get DQ'd. And I'm like, there has to be this aura that we need to somehow get rid of that's around you.
Yeah, well, I'll fix that next week. I'm gonna, don't worry about that. After next week, they won't even be thinking about those last two fights.
How do you know? And again, we've talked about stuff for many, many years. And you know, yeah, both of these things, and the two fights ago definitely should be overturned. But when things continue to go bad or wrong, and normally because of somebody else's choices or decisions, how do you block that out? As you're now in another fist fight, that you need to make sure nothing goes wrong this time?
Well, because, Randy, I've been doing this for 23 years, bro, professionally. At this point, man, I block everything out. You know what I mean? I block out the negative attention from the fans, the media. You know, when I was younger, in my 20s, I guess I cared about what everybody thought. I cared about what people said about me. You know, not so much anymore. I don't really care. You know what I mean? Look, at the end of the day, David Filmon, they hired me to come in and do a job. Same way Dana did when he hired me for the UFC. I mean, shit, I've made bonuses off of fights I've lost. because I come to fight. I come to bring my A game. Every time I'm in the ring, I come to fight. I'm a fighter. Win or lose, draw, whatever it is, I come to fight. That's all I care about. So for me, you know, my work speaks for itself. The only reason I was up and down these last 2 years was because technically I should have called my retirement, took a break, came back like most fighters, but that's not what I do. I wanted to stay around the game. I don't want to miss it. And for me, it's just staying active. You know, like I was telling the last guy I did an interview for recently, now it's just about I'm going to go back to cutting weight after this fight, go and drop back down to 75, and then hopefully in the near future drop to 65 and compete at those two weight classes. You know what I mean? So right now, you know, this the 185 class that me is tuning in, I'm done taking a break from cutting weight. So I'm going to go out with a bang fighting Riggs.
What intrigues you the most about the ninth? Is it the name of who you're fighting, another, you know, a legacy name, you know, like yourself and Joe Riggs? Is it because it's a main event? Does it matter it's just another fight in BKFC? Or what is intriguing you the most about next Saturday?
I just love to fight, man. I mean, you know, yeah, it's Riggs. You know, it's funny because, like I told the last interviewer recently, first time I ever met Joe Riggs was in Kalispell, Montana. I was 17 years old. That's when I won my first title.
Wow.
So, small. Yeah. Of course, we didn't fight each other, but it was the first time I ever met him. First time he met me, didn't know each other, and we've both been following each other's careers ever since. You know what I mean? I consider Joe a friend of the sport. He would be the eighth friend that I'll be fighting. I fought a couple of friends already. He'll be number eight. There's no bad blood. There's no animosity. It's just a good fight. I mean, Joe's a great fighter. You know, I'm a great fighter, and I think that makes for a good matchup. We're going to go bang. Like I said, win, lose, or draw. Because, I mean, with the judges nowadays, I got to speak win, lose, or draw into the picture. You know me, I'm a winner. I come to fight. I come to win. But with all the bad calls and everything else that's been hovering over my head, we'll see what happens. You know what I mean?
Hey, Melvin, so on one of those friends that you fought, was that back on September 16th, 2009, in the name of Nate Diaz?
Yes, sir. Nate, Cowboy.
So help the fans, you know, the word legacy for Nick Diaz after this past weekend's performance, coming back to fight Robbie Lawler. Where do you put him in the scope of that legacy talk, that legendary status?
Actually, it's Nick that's fighting Robbie. I mean, but both brothers are my friends. I think it's great for him. I mean, Robbie's one of my good friends. I mean, I trained with him down in American Top Team in Florida for quite a few years, like about maybe 5 or 6 years. It's going to be a great fight. I mean, I watched the replay of the other fight not long ago, and it just brought back the memories of how they fought each other the first time. I'm curious to know how it's going to go this time around. But we'll see. I mean, like those guys are legends in the sport as well. There's a lot of us walking around, even though I never held a UFC title. I was never able to fight for one. But, you know, those guys are champions in my eyes already. And those are the type of fights I don't pick sides. I don't pick a winner. I just like to see a good fight. May the best man win. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of the sport, but when it comes, I'm also a student of the sport. When it comes to guys I know that I like on both sides and kind of stay neutral, I'm going to be happy either way. Whichever one wins or whichever one loses, I'm going to still be happy.
I'm going to pull this from you, Matt, when you asked one of the earlier fighters what was more important, the nickname or winning a title. So what's more important, winning a title for you, Melvin, or being on the door of my van back in the day?
being on the door of that van, man. You know, I plan on making it there again before I retire with the BKFC because, you know, I'm chasing my 10th title right now. That'll be a good legacy to leave behind. And for me, right now, bare knuckle is where it's going to be. You know, Randy, I've been good friends with you over a long time, and I figured I'd wait till today to call this, but I wanted to do it with you, of course, but I'm no longer going to be fighting MMA anymore. I'm done. I'm basically calling my retirement on your show right now. I won't be fighting MMA, I don't think, at all anymore. I'm just going to stick to bare knuckle, and then from there, I'll let you know when I'm ready to retire again. But as far as MMA go, I am hanging up the gloves. I am done.
Let me ask you, you know, on that, and thank you for breaking it, and congratulations if the R word is the right word. Is it because it's, I don't want to say it's easier because it's still a fist fight, but A, bare knuckle where you're only worrying about one discipline. B, you have an ownership and an owner in David Feldman that has had your back, win, lose, or draw, and I know that hasn't been in the past. Is it all of that, or is it one that kind of sticks out more on why you're going to walk away from
it? It's just, I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, you know, I love fighting for Dave. I'm going to continue to fight for Dave, and then, you know, hopefully he keeps me around long enough to where I can get some good fights in and hopefully win that title for BKFC. I don't plan on fighting for anybody else as far as bare knuckle goes. But as far as MMA, it's just, you know, my body, I'm getting older. I'm 2 years from 40. I hate to talk like this, but I'm 2 years from 40. I'm 38 right now. I might actually be 39 in less than 6 months. But I'm just, I mean, it's just the training, you know, it's just overbearing. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing wrestling and judo and MMA training since high school. So I'm just ready to just give my body the proper rest. I mean, it's a lot easier to train for boxing. You know, I'm only worrying about one discipline now. Striking has been my forte in the MMA, even though I started off as a wrestler. You know, for about 6, maybe 7 years in the UFC, nobody even knew I was a wrestler. It didn't come out till later. People didn't even pay attention to it because I was so great at my striking. So right now, I just want to display my striking, you know, and I have an opportunity to make real good money in bare knuckle without all the stress on my body. And then the weight classes are adjusted really good for me to make weight. I can cut to 65. Cutting to 55 is a different story, you know. And if I went back to MMA, I wouldn't want to fight heavy. I would want to fight lighter, which means I'm fighting either at 55 again or 70. And even in MMA, I feel like I can compete at 70. Don't get me wrong. I've done it many times. I've competed most of my career at 70. But as you get older, you get these younger guys coming in. You know, they fresh out of high school, fresh out of some kind of a wrestling program. They're a little bit tougher to fight than most guys at my age. You know what I mean? And, you know, I take a note from the elders that I came behind, like Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, all those guys I looked up to. You know, when they got older, they slowed down. You know, Anderson Silva, you know, he's doing good. He's doing really good at boxing right now. But for me, you know, I'm taking a page and Vitor Belfort. Those guys are mine. Vitor Belfort, Randy Couture, Kevin Randleman, and Anderson Silva. Those three guys are my idols. I look up to those guys. I looked up to Randleman. Randleman was the reason I started fighting. And then Vitor Belfort came in at 19 and won the title. You know, never forget him running Vanderlei Silva across the ring. And then Mr. Randy Couture, I actually wrestled one of his kids in high school at Nationals, you know, and I became a big fan of Randy's even when I was in my youth. So I take a page from these guys. I mean, I want a longer career. I want to fight until I'm 45, 47 if I can. So I think right now with bare knuckle coming into play, that gives me that opportunity. And the reason I speak on that is because when I was fighting over in Europe for 7 years at bare knuckle for BKB, there are a lot of older guys that fight in that organization. I mean, when I say older guys, I mean some of them are pushing 50, some of them in their early 50s. You know, and those old guys, I mean, over there, they just savages, though. I mean, they're the Irish guys, of course. But those guys have long careers, and they're able to do something that they love, even at the age they are, and still be good at it. Because, I mean, really, I'm only worrying about punches. You know, I'm only worrying about fists. I'm not worrying about getting kneed in the face. I'm not worrying about getting submitted. So then now I can just focus on just one discipline instead of multiple disciplines.
I gotcha. And again, I appreciate you breaking it here. We'll hit out all the social media. We're basically out of time, but before we let you go, what can the fans expect on the app, or if they're going to get on a plane like Matt and I, and join you in Billings, Montana? What can people expect when you and Joe Riggs?
I mean, they can expect a great fight, man. I'm coming to win. I'm coming to knock Joe Riggs' head off. I want a knockout. Like, I need something spectacular. I need something to take everybody's mind off those last two bad calls. And I'm hoping if the commission or anybody that's connected to the commission right now in Mississippi are listening, I'm hoping that they can, you know, find it hard to overturn these last two fights. I mean, it's like being accused. It's like saying somebody telling me I'm guilty of a crime that I didn't do, pretty much.
Right. Well, I was going to jump in and say it has nothing to do with heart. It has to do with common sense.
Right.
You know, right. Common sense.
As far as my management go, with Smith Brothers, man, Kevin's been working hard for me. I mean, I love the guy, man. And as soon as I'm done here in Denver with my court and probation, I'm going to most likely be moving to Tampa.
Yeah, that's all we need. Melvin and Randy together in Tampa Bay.
I got you back, Mel, and I'll put your face on my truck.
That will more than likely be my next stop. And the only reason for that is because that's where Kevin is. That's where the Smith Brothers camp is. You know, there's a lot of guys down there like Julian Lane, good friends of mine, people that I can train with for bare knuckle and that can keep me sharp. Like I said, I want to make a run at this title at 175 and 165. So I want to win the title in two weight classes in bare knuckle. At least I can be the first one to do that.
It's more than just people to train with. The people in the Tampa Bay area, like you mentioned, Kevin, and it goes without saying myself, you know, there's people in the Tampa Bay area that you can trust. And, you know, when you find people like that, you need to be around them more often. So I definitely can't wait for that. Hopefully it happens. As always, Melvin, thank you very much for the time. We've already sent a box out from Odd Sox Official, so you can pick through that on which one you want to wear, as well as I'll send you some more 8-Man Strong gear as soon as I get off the air.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. I love you, man. And I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you next week, actually.
All right, we'll see you next Saturday. Thanks, Melvin. We'll see you out there in Montana.
Yes, sir.
Melvin Gillard, main event next week against Joe Diesel Riggs. So good stuff. I love that guy. He really is a good, good dude. All right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll go back out to Las Vegas and talk to Flash. That's Flash Gordon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Snap Sock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Matt Millen down in Tampa, you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Center. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out very early each year, so make sure to purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Joe Gervicious, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Cold as ice. Just so you can see.
Wasn't Gervicious a wrestler?
No.
It sounds like a wrestler.
Joe Gervicious
off the top rope.
Joe Gervicious, a huge catch in Philadelphia to push the Buccaneers over the Eagles and to the Super Bowl out there in San Diego. Manny Pacquiao, not only did Melvin just retire from MMA, but Manny Pacquiao retired from boxing today.
A truly historic career in boxing, a legendary figure, and going on to politics.
Where he'll be president.
He will probably be president.
Yeah, he probably will. All right, let's go back out to Las Vegas as we get ready for fight night 193. And welcome back to the program, Jared Gordon. Jared, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Obviously, Wednesday, just the start of another fight week. Are they all the same, you know, or do you try to like mix it up a little just so that it can make it easier to get through the next couple days?
Well, recently they've been the same because, you know, you're fighting at the Apex to have you quarantined and in the same hotel. You know, you're not visiting a new city or getting to see new sites. And obviously they're testing us, so you have to be quarantined for certain amount of time when you're allowed out. But I kind of like it this way because everything's super convenient. Everything's right at the tips of your fingers. You don't have to go out of your way. You know, they just make it super convenient for you.
Sure. You know, I've always talked to all of you athletes when you've come on about it being a work trip, you know, whether it's Vegas or, you know, London when the UFC went back there at UFC 40-something, you know, that it's work. You don't really want to go out. You want to stay off your feet and prepare for Saturday. But how different is it when it's really you can't go out? It's not that you don't want to. It's you're really not allowed to at this point.
Well, you know, they let us go to Whole Foods, so that's like our big day out. you know, you go to the UFC Performance Institute, you know, get your workouts in. Now they're allowing guys to go in the sauna and hot tubs and stuff, which earlier on they weren't. But I guess they lightened up the protocols a little bit. But, you know, sometimes, like, you know, I fought in Brazil, I fought in Mexico, I fought in Abu Dhabi. It's cool to get to see new places. I mean, you don't want to do too much and burn yourself out, but, you know, I don't mind either scenario at the Apex or going out to see a new country or city.
Except for Rio. You want to be careful when you're there.
Where is that? I didn't hear.
I said, except for Rio. I was in, I don't know if you ever heard the story, but I was in the vehicle with a couple of the UFC people that kind of got shook down by the police back in the day.
My manager was with you, I think. Brian Butler.
Yeah.
He got his wallet taken, I think.
Definitely some crazy stuff. Are you a fan of other sports? Do you follow other sports? Do you enjoy watching other sports?
I watch football. I watch boxing, wrestling, Muay Thai, but I'm not really a huge fan of any other sport. I'll watch hockey, but I like going to games. Watching on TV is not the greatest, but definitely respect hockey. And, you know, obviously other combat sports.
So what do you do to relax? You know, not necessarily fight week, but, you know, 2 weeks from now, you know, a month from now, you're not in a fight camp. I mean, do you watch TV stuff? Are there movies you watch? Or, you know, how do you just like to clear your head?
I mean, I'm definitely a fan of, you know, certain TV shows. The Sopranos is my number one choice of TV show. I could watch that over and over again. But, you know, I live in South Florida, so...
Right.
You got the beach, you got all sorts of things that we can do. And we're always outside. Like, there's no reason to be inside when you're in Florida. So, it's been, I'm from Queens, New York. So, being in Florida is like a whole new world for me.
Well, and I was going to say that to you, Jared, because, you know, I am a Floridian. I was born in Philadelphia, but I've lived my whole life here in Tampa Bay. I hate the beach. If I never go to the beach, that's too soon. Because I'm used to it. I grew up here. You know, when we grew up, we were poor. All we did is go to the beach because it's free and it's, you know, a day of entertainment. So it is kind of funny. I know you talk a lot about your past and you continue helping others. And my grandfather and uncle both ran a drug rehab center in Kensington, the heroin capital of the world. And so the story kind of hit home. You know, talk about that and what you continue to do to help others, you know, that might be falling into the past of what you went through.
So, you know, my main goal and purpose behind fighting is to help other, you know, people that suffered like I did with the addiction and sexual abuse, you know, any kind of abuse really, or mental health. That's always the number one underlying goal for me. But at this point in my career, I also want to be known as a good fighter, you know?
And sure.
I don't want to just be known as the guy who, you know, recovered from heroin and then got to UFC. You know, I want to climb the ladder and make the statement. But like always, like I said, the underlying goal is God, you know, trying to bring people to find God so they can better their lives and, you know, get off the drugs and, you know, get the mental health fixed and, you know, just live a better life.
Yeah, I remember growing up that what my uncle and grandfather would do is when these young adults would go through their center in Philadelphia, their reward, I don't know if it was a 6 week or 8 week or however long it was, their reward was, ironically, they would come to Florida and they would hang out at the beach and they would stay at our house in St. Pete and then go to my uncle's house in Miami, and that was their reward. And so I got to learn a lot and see a lot, and you know, I know what's out there, and I know the people that are out there trying to help as well. Are you looking for people to help you in this, you know, that you're doing, or how can others help you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I actually work for a treatment center. I'm, like, they're kind of like their brand ambassador. You know, like, my position is called community outreach. So I do work for a treatment center close to my house, like, a couple miles down the road. I visit you know, they have three different facilities, one in Jersey, one in Long Island, and one in Florida. I'll go to the centers and, you know, talk to the clients and tell them how I got my act together. But, yeah, I'm always looking to make new connections and try to help other people, you know, through any outlet that I can.
You know, your story is amazing and it's touching, and I agree with you. You know, to not just be known as a person who survived something tragic and still made it to the top. But last week we saw maybe the GOAT, the greatest to ever do it, inside the Octagon, had another episode. John Jones was arrested, and he's released a statement saying that I have way too much trauma to consume alcohol. And, you know, so I don't know if there's a way for you guys to collab and you know, but at least with a global name like John Jones at the top of the world, at least people are talking, and conversation leads to help and to resources. So hopefully there can be some positives that come out of all of this for everybody.
Yeah, you know, actually, a while ago, one of the upper-ups in UFC had emailed me asking me if, you know, that would be something I would want to do, like try to help John. But, you know, he's got to want to help himself.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, and also, he probably, I mean, maybe he wouldn't, but he probably say, who's this guy? How is he going to help me? but he's definitely obviously got some demons, and he needs, you know, I saw his post saying, yeah, I've got too much trauma, can't consume alcohol. But it's not just about making an Instagram post, you know? And saying, you know, right, I'm done with this life. He's done that for years now. Over and over and over, he just goes back to what he was doing. Obviously, actions speak louder than words. So I think he needs to make a full commitment. And, you know, he said in the post, oh, now is the time to work harder than ever. And, you know, it shows him bench pressing. I don't care how many bench presses you can do. That's not going to fix your alcoholism or your drug addiction.
Sure.
Your mental health problems. You need to go get help and work a program that's going to change every aspect of your life. You need to put certain principles into every area of your life to keep you from going back there. So, you know, I can go do a million fucking jumping jacks. That's not going to get me sober, you know?
He said trucking. So, he said trucking for people that are asking.
Sorry.
He said,
I'm sorry about that. I get a little...
Sure. It's all good. Let's switch gears. Let's switch gears for a second and talk about your fight Saturday night against Joe. What do you know about it about him? And I typically ask, does it even matter? Do you even worry or, you know, care about the opponent? It's more what you're bringing to the Octagon, not what your opponent's going to do.
Yeah, you make a good point. Obviously, I don't want to worry about too much about what he's going to do to me, but more so what I'm going to do to him. But That being said, obviously we look at tape and, you know, he's a grappler. I think, you know, he wants to bring the fight to the floor or, you know, against the cage and grind out his opponent. He likes to slow the pace down. He's well-rounded, though. His hands are decent. His kickboxing is decent, but he's a grappler. So, obviously, we prepare for that. And we're ready to defend that and do what I plan on doing.
Obviously, last Saturday, packed arena, T-Mobile, UFC, what was it, 6,412? I think it was
266.
well, and with all joking aside, I was at UFC 11, so it certainly feels like 6,412. This week, back out at the Apex, I know everybody loves fans there, but do you also like the fact, you know, smaller arena, you can hear everything, and it's not a packed fans?
I miss the fans. I haven't fought in front of the fans in a while. My last two fights, one was in Flat Island and one was at the Apex. So trying to get back to the fans for sure. But I don't mind. I'll fight in the parking lot. It doesn't really matter where we're fighting. Once you get there, you don't really hear much of anything anyways.
As long as you get paid to fight in the parking lot, you'd fight in the parking
lot. Exactly. Yeah. Or I don't get arrested.
There you go. Craziest thing, funniest thing that's ever happened to you, with you, regarding you, involving you in the middle of a fight?
That's two pretty. One time my hamstring came off my pelvis.
I don't know if that'd be considered funny.
What is the craziest?
Right. That is the craziest.
That's crazy.
That was pretty craziest. And what was the other question?
You know, just the craziest, strangest, funniest, you know, that's ever happened in the middle of a fight. We've had some great stories from athletes.
You know what? I don't really have anything funny or, like, crazy, or you know, but besides getting injured, I don't have anything different. Sorry.
Well, I guess that's good. I mean, that's good. What can the fans expect Saturday when you get back in there?
Jared 2.0, I think, you know, being down at Stanford now, this is my third fight with Stanford. I've been working on a lot of new tools. I'm in the best shape I've ever been, 455. I'm the lightest I've ever been going into fight week for 55. And I'm trying to push the pace and looking for the finish. So I'm not trying to grind it out and make it a slow fight, which, you know, some of my other fights have been like that. But I'm trying to go in there and put it all together and show some fireworks.
Good stuff. We're looking forward to it Saturday night. We're going to put you back on hold so we can get your address, so we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra Electronics. And my newest sponsor, Odd Sock Official, they're going to send you a box of some of the coolest socks you've ever seen. So we're going to hook you up with all three of that. So we're going to put you on hold right now. Jared, thank you very much for your time, and enjoy Saturday night.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's go hit this real quick break. When we come back, we'll close it out with Dave Manley and the newest figurine. He likes to call him bobblehead figurine. So we'll do that in about 90 seconds. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Martin Gramatica, talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products, and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ozzie Smith, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
You're as cold as ice. So I know we ran a little bit long, so let's get right to it. It's been way too long.
Way too long.
Since our good friend, the figure maker, Dave Manley from MMA Bobblehead. Dave, how are you?
Hey, Randy. Hey, Naked Pizza. How are you guys?
What's up, buddy?
This will be the last time. let's get right into it because we'll have a couple minutes. I received my newest Christmas ornament, hood ornament, rear view mirror ornament to the brand new non-MMA but USA Wrestling Daniel Cormier figurine / bobblehead.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been a long time coming. Before we get into that, Randy, let me just tell you something real quick on a personal level. International Fight Week wasn't the same without you. I've been hanging out with you there for a few years now, and your presence was definitely missed.
Well, I appreciate that. It was a struggle not being there. It was a struggle what I went through, but I didn't have it as bad as a lot of people, so all is good here.
Yeah, well, there's always next year, and I can't wait to hang out with you again next year. But, yes, this Daniel Cormier, I made for fun originally because I knew I was going to be meeting Daniel one day to show him the MMA bobblehead, and I was just, you know, messing around. I wanted to make one to kind of get a feel for what he thought of it because, like you said, it's a USA Wrestling bobblehead. It's him in his singlet, his wrestling shoes, his socks, so it's non-MMA, and I'm just a big fan of Daniel Cormier, period, right? In and out of the ring, you can't say that about a lot of fighters. You love what they do inside the cage, but definitely not outside the cage. But Daniel is, one of those guys that you can really look up to. So I went and I met him, and I showed him the MMA bobble. He loved it. And then I said, hey, Daniel, I made something. You know, let me just see what you think about this. And he loved it. And I said, what do you think? He's like, let's make a small batch of these and a little, maybe a collector's a special edition. So I did. And yet, like you said, I just released it last week. It was awesome.
You know, and it's so totally different. Everything you've done is MMA. We know your love for MMA and the UFC. But, you know, whether it is or it isn't, those three letters on the front of the singlet, you know, and the flag as well, pushes this, you know, to a whole new level. You don't have to be an MMA, you know, fan to love this. You don't have to be a combat sports or, for that matter, a wrestling. It's all about the nation as well. And what a perfect time to come out with this.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And you know what, Randy? A lot of MMA fans, even some of the hardcores, don't know the illustrious career that Daniel had as an amateur. I mean, dating all the way back from high school, he was a high school wrestling phenom. His record was like 101-6, something like that. And he was a two-time state national champion. He was the most valuable wrestler 2 years in a row in high school. In junior college, he went undefeated. His record was like 65, 66, and 0 in junior college, and everyone knows OSU standout. Then not a lot of people know that he was a gold medalist at the Pan Am Games, obviously two-time Olympian, captain of the Olympic team. So I'm just like, you know what, why don't we honor that in some way, shape, or form? And I'm glad that you mentioned that because it isn't just honoring Daniel personally, but yeah, Daniel's accomplishments for United States.
You know, and any time I can throw Matt under the bus, I'm happy to do it. And he didn't know any of that stuff. And he mentioned it earlier in the show when we talked about it. And, we talked about having you on. So, you know, I don't feel as silly for Matt because there's a lot of people that don't know that.
Yeah, a ton. And it's a shame. It's a shame because, you know what, the UFC creates a package for these fights that they want to have you absorb, right? And generally speaking, it's the crap talking back and forth. It's the bad blood. It's the sensationalism that really gets you to buy the pay-per-view. There's not a lot of real fluff pieces out there that just show you, like, you know, what a great guy this dude was and what a lot of hardships he's gone through in his life. You would have to count on like a 30 for 30 or something like that. But just if I can do my little small part in saying, hey man, I want to pay homage to you and pay you the respects that you deserve as your for your amateur career. I'm just so blessed to be able to do that. And even if this one doesn't sell, even if you know a lot of people don't like this one or whatever, I feel personally in my heart like I'm doing something good for one of my favorite sports athletes. And how many people out there can say that they have the opportunity to do that, to make something special for their favorite sport athlete? And that's what really, you know, gets me out of bed in the morning. And that's what I really love about this one.
You've done that, Dave. And I don't know if anybody's ever tried to return a T-City bobblehead that's been broken, but now if it's got a crack in the orbital bone, it's authentic as it gets. And what a heart and what a warrior that kid is.
You know what? I was talking to my jiu-jitsu friends yesterday, some high-level black belts, and they did not have an explanation for how Alex got out of that. And these guys are BJJ practitioners, you know, 15-plus years. And, you know, we were just kind of spitballing around how he got out of it. And it's just an anomaly. I don't know how he did. I mean, the guy gets locked up in a guillotine from the guy whose nickname is T-City. It's unbelievable. What heart. Yeah, and Brian showed tremendous heart as well. Incredible fight.
Dave, we are out of time, but Alex didn't know how he got out of it. Real quick, in 10 seconds or less, how can people order the Daniel Cormier singlet wrestler?
Everything on social media is MMA Bobblehead, including my website, MMABobblehead.com. Randy, in a 1 month, I'm releasing the Dustin Poirier Bobblehead. It's been a year in the making. I started making this before he fought Conor the second time, and I cannot wait. And I hope to talk to you soon about that.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tony Hawk, and you're talking sports with Randy.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.